After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you, to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where your foot will be set, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Amen. May God indeed add his blessing to that reading. May God inspire us as his people, as he seeks to grow us together. Let's just pause for a moment and just ask God's blessing as we come to reflect on his word. Loving Father, as we come, we thank you that you are a God who continues to speak to your people, that you continue daily, Lord, to encourage us, to equip us, to call us to your service. Heavenly Father, as we've heard of the people of Israel, Lord, we pray that indeed we too might be willing to hear your word, to hear your call, and to be willing to go forward in the strength that you give us, that indeed we might be strong and courageous, not in our own strength, but in the strength that you provide. So, Father, bless us as we share round your word. Speak through your holy word to our hearts and be glorified. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I know with me, I hate change. And change always makes me uncomfortable. And often when I feel that I don't know what's going to happen or the way forward, it makes me uncertain. It makes me dither. I am a ditherer. I don't know if you know that word. Yes? My daughter can attest to that, as my wife can. But you know, it's because you don't know. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know sort of the best way forward. You don't know which way to go. Do you choose to stay where you are? Sort of comfortable with what you know. It may not be wonderful. Or do you step out in faith? Step out into the future, which we don't know. You know, it's not just me that's at that point now. It's all of us. All of us. Perhaps in our own personal circumstances, or perhaps as a church family. And this is where God's word speaks to us. It speaks to us because God continues to lead each one of us. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it's hard to actually understand what God is doing. But you know, God does have a purpose and a plan and a will, a sovereign will for all of us. And as we step out together as a church family, we need to be joined together. We need to work together. We need to journey together. And I think this is why this is such a wonderful passage that God speaks through to us in our situation. We need to recognize the past. We need to recognize the past. What has gone before? You know, as our passage tells us, the story leads on from Deuteronomy, with the nation of Israel, who have wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. You know that word journeyed is used almost 90 times in the book of Numbers. The people of Israel have been journeying towards this place that God is leading them to, the promised land. And as we come to the book of Joshua, there is a new generation of Israel who are to come in and take possession of the land. Their journey is now coming towards an end. But in a sense, the people of Israel also had to recognize and acknowledge the past. Their forefathers had turned away from God, had rebelled against God. That's why they were in the wilderness for 40 years. The generation that sinned against God, that had turned away from God, were passing away. They weren't allowed to enter into God's promised land, into this inheritance. Yet, here's this group of almost 2 million people who are on the cusp of entering into this promised land. But they have another tragedy. Moses, their great inspirational leader, is dead. Moses, the one who has led them out from slavery in Egypt, the one who had continued to inspire the people of Israel, he's dead. And it's a new leader that they have in Joshua. So, the people of Israel, looking to the past, saw in a sense that uncertainty. They were familiar with Moses. They were familiar with their ways in the wilderness. But now there was this new opportunity to move forward, to take hold of the inheritance that God had promised. And they were commanded to cross over and take possession. It's a decisive moment for the people of Israel. A decisive moment in their history where they will move, where they will take possession of what God has promised. But between them and the promised land, they had to cross over the Jordan. I don't know about you, but often we think of the Jordan as being a nice little babbling stream. But the reality is that the Jordan River is actually, as we're told in Scripture, it begins up at Mount Hermon, right up the top there. Oh, let's see if we can get this working. The word Jordan actually means the one who descends or flows down. So it comes from the top, the north of Israel, in Mount Hermon. And it flows down through Lake Kinnereth, or the Sea of Galilee, down the River Jordan, down to here. This is where the people of Israel are at the moment. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. But you know, that's that place. The water flows down, especially after the winter with the snows on Mount Hermon. It flows down from 7,000 feet down to about 1,200 feet below sea level. It becomes a massive torrent. And in Joshua chapter 3, we're told it's at that time that the people of Israel are actually going to be crossing. Where they're crossing is what's known as the Zor Gorge. And it's where there's sheer cliffs either side. I'm sure when the people of Israel are camped looking at what lay ahead, having to cross over the Jordan at this point, I'm sure that they were filled with absolute fear. Uncertainty about the future. Yet it's here at this time when they're most uncertain, when the future seems to be quite scary, that God speaks to them. Verse 3. God gives them the promise, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. You know, the promise that God had given for the promised land is reaffirmed through these books, from Genesis through Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The promise that was given was to Abraham, to Moses, and in Deuteronomy, it says, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. So in other words, all that land that is in red. But the reality was, and I'll mention this later, is that Israel never actually took hold of God's promise. They only actually took hold of about 10% of what God wanted to give them. And that was because they lacked the faith. Come back to that just shortly. You know, sometimes when we are facing the future, sometimes even when we are given a promise for the future, sometimes the circumstances actually make us frightened. The circumstances actually stop us from going forward and taking hold of what God wants for us. It's that lack of faith, that lack of actually trusting God and stepping out. But you know, God doesn't turn his back on us. And for Joshua, he actually sought to inspire Joshua. Joshua's about, he's not a young man, he's probably about 80 years old at the time. And he's no doubt scared. He's been in the shadow of Moses. Moses has been the leader. Moses is the one who has sort of, if you like, directed the people. He was a man of God, as we're told. He's now dead, so how does Joshua fill his shoes? It's by trusting in God's promises. And the promises that God gives to see that actually come into being. Verse 5, as we've read, it says, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, twice, two different times, God actually speaks to, I think these are a little bit mixed up. Anyway, doesn't matter. Twice, two different times, God speaks to Joshua. And he tells him, be strong and courageous. And in verse 7, he actually says, tells him to be very courageous. How can Joshua be courageous when he's filled with uncertainty in himself? When he's uncertain about how they're going to accomplish what is before them? He can do it because of God's promises. God has promised to be with him always, that he would never leave him nor forsake him. Same promise that Jesus gives to us, that he gave to the disciples at the Great Commission, that we can have that certainty of God's abiding presence with us. And because of that, we can be strong and courageous. Not in our own abilities, not in because we are wonderful or we're strong, but because of God's promise to us that he will be with us, that he will guide us. And this is what Joshua is told. He's warned in verse 8. Let's just see. He's warned to keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, if you are grounded in God's word, if you honour God in his ways, then you will be prosperous and successful. That's what it says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, that promise is God's promise to us. To us as a church family, as we move forward. That if we seek to glorify God, grounded in his word, in his way, seeking to honour him, then he is with us. That we need not be afraid. That we can be courageous. That we are strong. We're strong in the faith that God gives us. We're told to meditate on God's word. What does it mean to meditate? When you say the word meditate nowadays, people think of meditate as in Eastern religions. But in the actual original language, in the Hebrew, it means literally to moan or growl or utter or speak or muse. In other words, it's about being, if you like, applying scripture. Whereas Eastern religions, a modern view of meditation is about emptying our minds. In God's word, when it's the word meditate is used, it actually means the opposite. It means to fill our minds. Fill our minds with what? Fill our minds with God's word. To be grounded. To be solid. That no matter what happens, no matter what faces us, that God's word grounds us. We're not to be afraid. Just go back to this one. Because it's an important point. When God sees our fears, God wants to fill us with his courage, to be strong and courageous. For Timothy was told by Paul, in Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. And again, in Isaiah 43, God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. That was a promise that was experienced by the people of Israel at the time when they inherited the land, when they came in. But you know, it needs us to actually be prepared, to get ready. And that's our final point. Sorry. To get ready and take hold of what God has promised. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, Joshua commands the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. It wasn't a case that somehow magically they would just sort of transform from being on one side of the Jordan to the other side of the Jordan. They actually had to get ready. Joshua tells them, They need to prepare. They need to gather all that God has provided for them, to have everything in place before they actually move forward. But they also had to move forward. They had to be determined in moving forward. You know, some people think that, well, God will build his church. And yes, Jesus gave us that promise, didn't he? He gave us a promise, I will build my church. It's Christ's church. It's not our church. It's not Logan Presbyterian Church. It's Christ's people, of which we are part. And God has promised that he will work in and through his people. He will empower his people, make them strong and courageous, that they can go forward, that they can take hold of the possession, of the inheritance that they have been given. The word inheritance is actually used 49 times in Joshua. It's an important word. What they're doing is not their, according to their own political ambitions. It's not a case that they're building a huge empire because they want to be the biggest and the strongest. It's because of, it's a promise of what God has given. But they also need to actually go in and take possession of it, which is used 9 times. It's an important word. But as I said earlier, Israel never actually really took hold of all of Israel, of all of the promised land. Actually, later on in Joshua chapter 13, Joshua himself says there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. Chapter 18 says, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Even though the people of Israel had the promise, even though they were beginning to move forward, they never really took hold of all that the Lord had promised. And it wasn't because God failed. It wasn't because the promises of God failed. But it was down to the people. The people never fully trusted and obeyed and honored God as they went forward. They never took hold of that promise. They never possessed it. You know, as we look to the future, as we work together in Logan Presbyterian Church, pray that that would be something that would drive us, something that would really take us forward as a congregation, that we might look to the Lord, that we might acknowledge the past. The present is unsure. What's going to happen? Well, that's in God's hands. Jesus has promised that he will build his church. Let us step out in faith together as we move forward. May we honour the Lord as we build each other up in the faith, as we're encouraged by God's word. I pray that this journey is one which we will see God powerfully present and at work. Amen.